Blog Talk Radio.
Hey.
What's going on, Doc?
You tell me. It's your world. We back in the house.
Man, listen, I just broke in and climbed through the window. You know what I mean?
You climbed in through the window?
Yeah, I had to climb in through the window, man. When I first got on, they was like, yo, the show about to start, right? Next thing I know, they was like, yo, you're out in the backyard. Make it happen.
You climbed in the window.
I had to climb in the window, man. We back. It's the voice of the people, y'all. Me and Mark Lee right now, we waiting on Ty Jones to get here. She must be in traffic somewhere out there in Hawaii, but, you know, we'll
see
what time
she
parks.
She posted out there on Facebook that she is going to be in the house, so we are expecting her to be in the house.
So we are expecting her to be in the house. You know what? We got
a
new number, too. We got a new number. We're back in. We got a new number. The guest call in is 646-668-8393. That's the new number. So, guess we got to put that out there, too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Let folks know we got a new number, 646-668-8393. And we are expecting folks to call in on a regular basis and have some regular conversation because, you know, we're the voice of the people. So this time around, we expect some dialogue. We want to hear from the people because there's just too much craziness going on in the world these days.
You're right about that, brother. It's amazing,
I mean,
man.
When was the last time you saw a president that had an under 40% approval rating in his first 100 days?
Hey, man, 64 days, this man has taken more L's than the worst criminal out there. You know what I mean? So, hey, this may be a first.
I'll tell you, I think it is a first. He's taking L's left and right. I mean, he said he was going to repeal the whole thing, the Obama health care, and his own people didn't even want to do it. They were like, wait a minute. You're about to kick out a bunch of people, and we ain't going to win nothing if this happens. So, we can't do that.
Yeah, that didn't work out too well, did it?
Nah, that did not work out too well at all. And, you know, this whole wall thing, that don't seem to be working out too well. So, you know, he's got all these crazy ideas, and they don't seem to be working too well.
You know you're doing bad when your own people dish you.
His own people been dissing him. It's real bad. His own people have been dissing him.
He ran up on the scene like, yo, look, he up there like, yo, I got your vote. He was like, nah, son. Yo, man, it's amazing, though. But this is who some people voted for. So be careful what you ask for because you just might get it. And it's the same people.
You might not want it.
Right. And it's the same people that's about to lose all their little health care benefits. They're like, what am I going to do? Well, messing with him, you're going to die because he's not that great, man. I mean,
that
horrible.
He's just got all kinds of crazy things going on.
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting to see because, you know, like, you're looking at him and you're saying, man, what is this fool thinking? Like, I don't know. You got a better chance of getting a dope fiend to run the country.
But he loves to tweet about what he's doing wrong. Every time he does something, he goes out and tweets about it.
But you know what? He doesn't answer everybody because I directly tweeted him after that repeal and replace. Hold on. And I was like, yo, you took more L's in 64 days than the last two presidents combined their entire their whole presidency. And I haven't heard anything back yet. He probably like, who is this scumbag? But, you know, like, sorry, Donald, but you're fired, dog. Like, your skills are on E, man.
He even hired Arnold, and Arnold looking at him like, that's all right. I don't want the job no more.
I almost said, man, I'm not messing with this cat, man. I can't do it, man. You got me up here looking crazy.
I was like, I'm through with y'all. Y'all crazy.
You know, that's like getting to somebody from the hood that they've been rich for like the last 25, 30 years. Like, dog, I got enough money. I ain't fucking with you.
Yeah.
I don't need your money.
I don't need yours.
Yeah, like,
don't
it's not worth it, man. I like
absolutely
to be a fly on the wall. I just wanted to be a fly on the wall when he found out that it failed.
Oh, yeah. What?
Like,
they didn't vote for me?
Yeah, like, I'm not messing with them no more. They're not my friends. I don't have nothing to do with them.
You think he was crying?
Like, he probably cried. He went to the bathroom and cried, though. You know, people like that too proud, man. So he probably had that stern face like, yo, it is what it is. And everybody like, yo, you all right? He's like, yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Went to the bathroom and cried.
And you know, Kelly over there Kelly and Scott,
sitting on the
Kelly
couch.
And Dog Spicer are trying to help him out.
Bruh, did you see how she was sitting on the couch? She looked like everybody in that room ran through her and she was tired. Yo, she was on the couch like she was at her boyfriend's house. Man, I was like, yo, what is going on here?
I'm telling you, well, it's a whole new White House. I mean, he got his daughters in them that just chilling, and she got her own office. I mean, you know, Malia and Sasha didn't have their own office, but no, Donald's daughter got her own little office.
Yeah, how does that work?
Yeah, I don't know how that works. I'm just going to sit there and chill. Dad, can I have my own office? I'll get you elected. I just want an office.
You know what? See, in other houses, she would have had her face smacked. Like, you want what? Your own office? Don't sit sit your ass down somewhere.
Sit down. You cannot have your own office.
Hell no. You can have your own office where you work. Get you a damn job. You know, like, my mom, God rest her soul, I can see me now. Hey, Ma, can I get my own office? Sure, baby. Right where you got a job at, but you don't have one here. So
you
get
have
to get your punk ass on somewhere.
We don't know where, but somewhere.
Somewhere. You gonna figure it out, but you're not gonna figure it out here. So when you do figure it out, you can go ahead and feel free to work wherever you got a job.
Exactly. Wherever you got a job, you can get it. And tell me something. Now, you know, I do the sports thing. We'll get off politics for just a minute. I do the sports thing, too, and every year I do the brackets. And sometimes I do decent. I might get maybe two teams. I don't think I've ever had three, but I know I ain't never had four. But who saw these teams coming? Like, who saw South Carolina in the Final Four?
Nobody.
Who saw Oregon in the Final Four?
Nobody. See, me personally, I picked Kansas. And I only picked Kansas for one reason. I don't follow college basketball like that. But my hometown people, Frank Mason, had a hell of a year this year. So, you know, I wanted to see him win that thing, man. But then they got knocked out, and I was like, dang. All right, well, but you got Gonzaga, North Carolina, South Carolina. Who's left?
Oregon.
No?
Oregon.
Yeah, Oregon.
Oregon.
I'm like, yo, Chip Kelly sitting at home like, yo, maybe I can get my job back if they win.
I know.
Yo.
Vegas is sitting up there like, we ain't got to worry about this one because I doubt very seriously that anybody picked this Final Four. If they did, it's like maybe one out of every billion people or a million people. But it was not the popular choices. I know that for a fact.
Oh, no, not at all. And, you know, people are sitting at home right now, like, I feel it out because one of my friends has the, you know, the little thing she filled out so we can fill out our brackets and stuff. I usually just fill it out, see if I'm right. What was wrong, first round, gone.
Oh, yeah, I was already. I was toast the first round. I'm sitting there going like, oh, no, I'm through. You know, you always going to go for your alma mater. So I thought Marquette was going to do something. But, you know, both Marquette and the school that I know, Ty knows a little bit about something called North Carolina Central, they forgot two key rules. You know, basketball is a two-half game. You have to play for two halves.
Right.
And in both cases, they played great for the first half. I think we were up. Marquette was in the first half. And then South Carolina was like, nah, we're going to clamp it out on this defense, and we're just going to blow y'all off the court in the second half. And that's the same thing pretty much that UC Davis did to Central. They were like, oh, y'all think y'all can play? You do know this is a two-half game. They were like, two halves? We got to play for two halves? Nah.
Yeah, they're like, yo, dog, two halves? You got to be kidding me.
We cannot do this for two halves. No. So then they got blown out, and they were gone. And then all these other teams who were supposed to be doing stuff, like you said, Florida was supposed to have done something. They got blown away. You know, Xavier came out there, and Gonzaga just ran them off the court. So folks just got silly. And I still do not understand what the big beef is in the NBA about the folks. They've been doing this for years. What's the big beef about folks taking off a day or two for the playoffs? I mean, don't they do that in every sport?
I would think so. But, you know, when people, they do something a little different now, I guess. I don't know, but I do know this.
What's that?
LeVar Ball needs to sit his ass down and get him a cold beer and not say a damn word while his kids are playing ball, man. I just posted a thing today. They had him in a pickup game. Oh, my goodness. I know he didn't teach his sons how to play ball. Somebody else did.
Was he that bad?
Oh, man. You'll pick the dude with no leg to ball with you before you get this guy, man.
Okay,
I'm like,
that's bad.
I was looking, and I'm like, what in the hell? Oh, my God. Your basketball skills are on zero. But that's how because, you know, he was on TV. He said one of his sons was better than Magic.
I remember
he said he could beat Jordan. He said he could beat Jordan. Remember, he said all of that stuff. And I was
all
like,
all those lies.
Somebody's smoking. Somebody is smoking bad.
He won't even smoking the good dope. I mean, he's saying them lies. He's smoking the real bad shit.
I mean, at least have some kind of skill.
At least have something you can back it up with.
Back up something. I mean, yeah, I understand you're trying to advocate for your kids. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with advocating for your kids. But when you start going off the deep end, you name dropping now. Steph Curry, Michael Jordan, you know, Magic Johnson. Dog, you say your son is better than Magic? Nah, man.
Not at all.
No. And he hadn't even gotten to the league yet. So that's the biggest thing. Like, you're trying to say it's on and popping, but come on, man. Your kids, everybody wants their kids to do well. I get it.
Bruh,
that's when you drink a little too much. Put the liquor down. You know what I mean? Oh, my God.
I probably had the wrong kind of liquor, like I said.
He drinking even gasoline and radiator fluid, bro. It ain't even no liquor you could get in the store.
You could get it in the store if you tried?
Man, listen, he better off drinking. What do you say?
They couldn't even get that in the store they tried, huh? That's in the back sector.
Dog, you can't even get the dudes from Outsiders to make anything that strong. You know what I mean? Like, come on, man. You're just embarrassing yourself. But
the guys at the corner store, they cannot do it, huh?
No, they look like, you know what, bro, we can't make that. We don't even know what you're looking for because you lost your bad mind. Him and Ben Carson are doing the same thing.
Well, you know, Ben Carson, the man who believes that he is fit to run HUD because he wasn't even raised in the hood.
Well, he said he was. He said he was.
No, but they came out
back
with,
in the day. Y'all not
they
ready.
Came out with all kinds of stuff. They were like, "No, that was a lie. You were there for like maybe all of a split second."
Ben Carson said he made up the Crips in the Blood. That's what he said.
Oh. So the Carson, the C in Crip stands for Carson.
Mm-hmm. And the B stands for bastard.
So Crips are Carson's really important people.
I don't know. I know one thing. The brother did some surgery on his own brain, man. I think he was trying to get to mental level. And he clipped something by accident because now, you know, I refer to him as Uncle Ben, you know, and not in a good way. Like, Uncle Ben, yo, you've embarrassed yourself. You've embarrassed everybody. Please sit down somewhere and do something.
But isn't that the whole Trump administration that he's putting in the office? People running
all
departments
people,
that have fit. People that run departments that they don't even believe in. Then he's talking about he wants to get rid of, you know, my friends in the arts. We are not too pleased. The man wants to get rid of the National Endowment for the Arts, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. He just wants to, like, you know, Sesame Street. He's like, skip Big Bird. I don't like, you know, Big Bird. He's yellow.
You know why, right?
He's the wrong color. He's the wrong color. That's what it is. That's why Trump don't like Big Bird. He's the wrong color.
Well, it wasn't even that. You know what? You know why? He was embarrassed because, you know, they were joking on him, man. So he was like, oh, I got something for you. Big Bird, you about to get up out here, player. I'm about to get rid of all this shit. Y'all want to joke on me? Oh, all right. I got something for you.
What is it that they're scared? Because, you know, one of the things I remember growing up was this. They used to have all them great shows on, and one of them was called Conjunction, what's your function? We know that was all about connecting the sentences and everything together. But the other one that I remember as a kid was, I'm just a bill. And he don't want us to know what a bill is, because if we know what a bill is, we'll know what he's up to. So that's why
we know, right, we know somebody did not watch Schoolhouse Rock.
No, he didn't watch
Trump. Trump was like, yo, I made all of that stuff. Him and Ben, boy, they on their own little thing. But I say, you know, people are talking about impeaching him. I'm like, nah, don't impeach him because he can still stay in office. This is saying you guilty of this or that. Man, invoke the 25th Amendment so that he is stripped of all his presidential power, man. And then, you know, a lot of people, well, Mike Pence ain't no better, but I think he would be better than Trump as far as listening to people. I don't know. You know, we have a mess on our hands, man.
Donald Duck would be better than Trump in terms of listening to people.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I probably could get some dude from around the corner and just be like, yo, my man, I need you to go down to the White House and make sure don't none get messed up. He'd probably run it better.
They probably would, but you know, we already had that incident where the guy almost got into the White House, and now they're talking about building a bigger wall. Not just a wall against the borders and everything, but now they're talking about building a wall, like a greater wall on the White House so that people won't just stumble into the White House.
Right. Well, you know what? That wall was already up.
That wall was already up. The White House wall was up. The Latin American wall was already up. There's already a wall around near Mexico. Toronto didn't already come out. Like, you heard about the ones from Canada. They didn't come out and been like, oh, you want to build a wall? Well, we got an idea for you. How about we don't come to your country?
But you know what? They still going to come in because as soon as you build a wall, they're going to dig a tunnel. So what's going to happen now?
Like I said the last time we were together, I live in, you know, here in North Carolina, we got a lot of people because there's a lot of development around here, a lot of construction. And every time I go to them construction sites or near those construction sites, that's all I see is Spanish brothers and sisters, more Spanish brothers. But I'm telling you, if they build the wall, they're going to have so much tunnels, mazes. There's going to be so many escape routes. It ain't going to be fun.
Yo, did you see the joint El Chapo got out of? He dipped behind that toilet stool, man, and was out.
He's like, come
and,
out of here.
And he had a nice tunnel with a motorcycle down there, lighting system and everything. It wasn't no, like, dark tunnel that he had to kind of find his way through. They had a whole lighting system down there, a motorcycle for my man to get from point A to point B. Yeah, and, all right, you dig a tunnel big enough for a motorcycle, well, you know good and hell well they're going to build one and put a car down that tunnel.
Oh, yeah, big time.
So then what are you going to do?
Nothing you can do. Nothing you can do at all. I know you're sad about the, I know you, you know, we're going to talk about some entertainment too, and I know you're sad about the loss we had in the music world. You know, it was a sad day that we had to lose Chuck Berry.
The originator of rock and roll, for those who don't know, who thought,
yeah, they could get Elvis, they won't Elvis.
No, it wasn't Elvis. Elvis stole it.
Yeah.
You know, and he got all the little, the accolades and everything. Why? I don't know.
I don't know that either. But very, I will,
90 years.
But I will say, yep, got all that accolades for 90 years, still getting accolades and everything. But I will say this that I'm really proud of. I was reading, I think it was yesterday, or it might have been Saturday, but Chuck Berry actually was an astute businessman. So his folks are about to get paid because apparently he's leaving them like millions of dollars. So apparently,
nice.
He didn't just like have a contract and leave it at the sign. Chuck actually studied his contract.
Chuck might have been getting paid all that time, and we don't know. You know what? And a part of being a smart businessman is not letting everybody know the hand that you're holding either.
Exactly.
So who knows? Chuck might have been getting money and say, you know what? Yeah, you could say you started this. It's all good. Cut me them checks, bro.
Just bring me a check. Just send it from Graceland, and we all good.
That's a great thing though, because so many times you got artists that's passing away, and we thought they had money, but then the family arguing over like a pet rock that this motherfucker had. Like he's broke, he has no money. Everybody's arguing about what to do with the $3 that he did have. And, you know, it's just, it's crazy, man. It's crazy.
Totally crazy. Totally crazy.
It makes no sense. But then again, that's how we roll sometimes.
That's the way it goes. Have we heard from Miss Ty yet?
No. Still must be stuck in traffic. But, hey, look, if y'all want to call in, give us a call at 646-668-8393. It's Dean Geronimo with co-host Mark Lee. We wait for the host to come in. Then again, it's like 2 o'clock. She might be on the beach, bro. I don't know.
She's gonna call it exactly 2. She told me precisely. I called her at 5. She said I'm gonna call you at 2.
She said she gonna call you at 2. We gotta get her for the 28 minutes that she late there.
She disappeared. She might be watching, you know, she might be trying to watch and getting a deal on one of the reality shows. You know, Miss Ty likes the reality shows. And I ain't gonna lie, I've been actually catching a couple of them lately, but I still cannot get into those ones that are like, you know, whose house they live in, the Atlanta Housewives and all of that kind of stuff. I'm not gonna lie, I haven't gotten into some of these music reality shows. The Voice of the Crip. Got the couple that are battling against each other while they kind of create the musicians and everything, but they somehow became a couple.
Yeah, I watch them, man. I don't like Big Brother type joints you talking about, or the Atlanta Housewives where they just going from place to place and causing drama. I like that. I don't know. Maybe that's my little escape from the world. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't make logical sense because in the regular neighborhood, somebody would have beat you to death coming in that house, starting all that drama. But they get paid a lot of money to do that, man. Like,
they
make like $700,000 for 10 episodes. I'm like, yo, 70 grand an episode? It's probably about 10 hours of taping for an hour worth of what we see. But, hey, that's still less than a 40-hour work week. In a 40-hour work week, they got 4 episodes.
Hey, you trying to give me ideas now. I might have to go into my little apartment complex here, buy me some of these neighbors, and just move them into the house. We'll start our own TV show.
Just move the people in. Yeah, just move the people in and just let it go. You know what I'm saying? Just be in the house. Whoever's there is there.
We can have an interesting combination. The public complex I live in, I got a decent amount because it's near the Duke campus. So I know I got at least a couple of doctors here. So I get a couple of doctors. But, you know, I got some Hispanic folks that live nearby. So I get the Hispanic folks in. And just below me, there's a whole family that lives down there. There's like some, I think they're Hopi Eritrean. And there's also like a Persian one. So if I just moved in here, we got a whole show.
You have a whole show. Uh-oh, somebody's up. Hey, little
somebody's
lady. Up. Yeah, man. Since we've been gone, man, I have a 3-month-old granddaughter, man. And she was sitting beside me asleep, but then she woke up. So I don't know how long she going to stay up. About to take her here to her mama. And we're going to go from there. We still haven't heard from Ty yet, huh?
I said you enjoyed the little one?
Yeah, man, yeah. You know, a little girl, you know, so not as rambunctious as a boy, but she's only 3 months, so she hasn't started walking yet. When she starts walking, that's going to be the challenge. Because she's going to have them little legs. These old legs going to be struggling to keep up, bruh. Oh, my goodness. But, yeah, that's my little toots, man. I got her here with me. She went to sleep, and all of a sudden I felt that head starting to move around. And you know how the little ones are when they wake up. They start bawling. She was quiet, though. She must have known the old man was on the radio.
On the radio, huh? Huh? I still ain't got it. I'm avoiding the kids. Uh-oh. What if it was a place? How do you want to make? If you're a fan, tell them to make it out. They don't know what I'm like for the third grade play, probably out with like a lion's head. I mean, I think like it was, you know, kind of like, so everybody, you know, Facebook, they're like, hey, man, just get past the car. But then I go,
wow.
Musician, folks.
Say that one more time.
I said, have we heard from any of our musician folks from the past show? Because I was keeping in touch with my brother from Florida on Facebook every once in a while, but I've kind of like lost touch with him, so I don't know what anybody else has been hearing, how that whole music scene that we were having on the last show, how that was going.
You know what? You talking about Anthem? Anthem?
Yes.
I don't know, man. I'm going to have to, you know, I was finishing up school too, so I was kind of in between. I got to start reaching out to folks.
Well,
I did reach out to
I did reach out to Miss Elizabeth. She said she's going to be coming back to talk about her new book, because she got some books for us, our Cancer Survivor. So I did reach out to her, so we're going to be hearing back from her in the very near future. And I did reach out to one or two others, but I know definitely that Elizabeth just said, yeah, I got some stuff for y'all.
Okay.
We got some new books. We got some stuff to talk about. So, yeah, she's ready to talk. And then I got a brother of mine, buddy of mine, a drummer. He just came back. Because apparently, you know, we talk about the travel ban and everything, but apparently there's a new country that has become very popular for entertainers to go to. And because I've heard of at least three friends of mine that have gone there, and I can't blame them. But apparently,
wow.
Dubai is paying for entertainers to come to Dubai.
Man, listen, that's on my bucket list. I got to get over there.
Well, I've heard this. My boy that plays drums says it's off the chain. He said that, you know, they got all that money, so they ain't got nothing better to do, so they spending it to bring folks over. I know that actually Adolph Shiver, who's tied into Michael Jordan, one of his boys, who was, I think, was his personal DJ, T-Love, he's pretty much living over there right now. And then, like I said, my boy Archie that got like a Michael Jackson salute band that he's part of, they've gone over there a couple times. But there's a couple people I know that have gone there, and they've been like, oh, no, they treat us like we kings. I'm like, well, I got to get over there myself then. I want to be treated like a king.
That's on my bucket list, man. They said a flight like 13 hours, but everybody that's been there was like, yo, it's worth it. You know what I mean? I'm like, well, damn, I need to get over there, man.
That's on my bucket list. I think Belize is on my bucket list.
Belize is beautiful, bro. We went on a cruise and went to Belize. Beautiful.
The Belize is definitely, what's it, St. Lucia's on my bucket list. I even heard good things about certain countries in Africa. Like, this is a friend of mine, well, actually, white girl, she told me that, she said, don't sleep on South Africa. Johannesburg is a pretty place. And she said, you can actually go up there and practically be touching the tigers and the rhinoceros and hippopotamus and all the other critters. I'm sitting like, I don't know if I want to touch them. They might decide to fight.
But they, yeah, I had a professor from Nigeria, man. He was showing me some pictures, and I was like, yo, they really do an injustice when they be showing. They'll show you like the people that still live, maybe like in the mud huts or whatever. And they, when they come out for those who have not been anywhere, you got to go by what you see. So it's the same as if you show a group of white folks the hood and you say all black people live in the hood, then they're going to believe that every black person they see lives in the same type of condition. And by default, we have poorly judged that. We think, you know, not all of us, but some will say, you know what, the Africans live, they still in the jungle, they still do this, they still do that. But when you see, like, those cities, it's just like home. It's just like home.
Yep. So they try to make it like it's a horrible place.
Bro, I got my bucket list too, and I got this thing now called Travel Light.
Yeah,
where
how's
you
that
can
going?
Hey man, it's going, you know, still trying to, you know, save people some money on their hotel rooms and rental cars so they can save a couple of dollars and enjoy themselves. Flights are not guaranteed, but the prices are comparable. You know, like when we went to Atlanta, luckily I found a flight on it, which was like about $150 cheaper had I gone through the regular site. So you can save money with it. The Karma membership is free.
Oh.
And you know, all you have to do is go to GXIII.travellight, one word, but it's spelled just like it sounds, travellight.com. And
it, you know, you can actually save money with it. So I can't complain, man. You know, with everything, it takes a little time. And, like, I'm just really getting back into, you know, really pushing it because I was working on school and everything else. And now I get to focus a little bit on that. But, like, I tell people, don't book another hotel without giving me a chance to save you a couple of dollars. So I'll post that link on the page. You know, if anyone is interested, they can just click on it, and then you have to sign up. They'll send you an email, like a confirmation email, and then from there, once you put the temporary password in, you go in and you can make your own password with your email, and boom, you're in there. You can start looking up destinations. You know, it's...
You had that sports thing going on too, though.
Huh?
You had that sports thing going on too, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, the sports thing is more like a game. So if you're into the games, then that's more geared to, you know, for those who do those things. And the game is pretty cool, though. You know, like you determine what happens next. I haven't played it with the basketball, but I did play it with the football. And, you know,
worked out pretty well. Ooh. Well, you know, we got plenty of stuff going on here in Durham right now because we got all kinds of stuff happening over here. Because, you know, this is the month of festival.
Right.
So we might raise the light up.
If we could determine what happens next with this presidency... might be interesting, you know what I mean?
Yeah, we have no idea what's going to happen with this presidency. He just lost his mind, so I think we might have to figure out a way to see if we can't get the going on. I hear even the Republicans thinking about trying to get him out of office.
I think he's going to just get mad and quit.
You think he's going to do a reverse apprentice show? He's going to just fire himself?
Yeah, he not going to be like, yo, you're fired. He going to say, I quit. He just going to roll out. Because he going to get tired. You know, like, people like that don't do well with the words no or somebody trying to tell them what they need to do. You know, he doesn't seem like that type of person. That's why he won't listen to his advisors. That's why he won't go to the meetings, because he know everything. Like, one of them people, like, I know what I'm doing. You know what I mean? Like, don't tell me what to do. I know what I'm doing. And you're like, dude, you don't know what you're doing. You're really messing up. So
you're like, I got this covered.
Yeah, like, I got this. Back up off me, and you need to figure out what you need to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, dog. You're killing yourself.
He's like, I just want you to understand that I'm in charge.
Mm-hmm. I'm the president, and he still doesn't understand the magnitude of what he needs to do as the president. It's just like, you know what? I run this, so I want to do everything.
Yeah, but I mean, what do we expect from somebody that he also, you know, they pretty much said the Russians did all kinds of stuff with him, so. They're like, yeah, we know that they cheated. We really don't care. We just know what happened, so we're not going to do anything about it.
Yo, they had the they said that he had the Russian mafia in Trump Tower, like a floor under his. Now you don't know who's in your building, dog. Come on, you got to be kidding.
They just hate that. But then he's gonna go out there and claim that Barack was over there wiretapping him.
Yeah, like, he wiretapped me. Shut up, man. Stop fucking crying. Even if he did wiretap you, did you say something that you weren't supposed to say? You know what I mean? Man, wasn't even thinking of you.
Right now, last time I checked, isn't President Obama somewhere, like, in the Caribbean or something? He's, like, sitting there going, like, look. The country's crazy.
Man.
I'm just going to sit here and chill. We'll come back after y'all get y'all's act together.
he might want to tell that man, be like, man, I'm not even thinking of you, man. You go to hell, man. I'm not your friend. You know what I mean? He said, I am not your friend. I'm wiretapping you, but I'm over here chilling with my wife after 8 years of the BS and stress, and you still got my name in your mouth. Come on, dog.
Totally got the name in the mouth, and you know, now they're talking about they want to get us back into the space race, but you know, we got folks like Mr. Musk and others that are sitting there trying to figure out how they're going to be there first, so we're going to have private citizens going up into space.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
You're not rushing to take that trip?
Hell no, I'm staying right on the ground, bruh. You won't have me up in there dying.
So they come to you and they're like, look. They come to you and they're like, look, we got an idea. We want you to come up here on the first trip in 2020 to Mars. You go sit there and go like, no, that's okay.
But not me, because I ain't trying to make history like that. You know what I mean? That's a rough go at it.
one-way trip, as I can tell.
Nope. I know I watch too much TV or something, man, because I won't be the first. They'd be like, you know what? Something happened and we couldn't bring him back. He had to stay there. You know what I mean? No, sir.
So what you're trying to say is that you watch too much science fiction movies, because you know we always the first ones to go into science fiction movies.
Hey, man, the only movie I've seen where a dude made it to the end so far has been Get Out. That's
about it. Rest of it, as soon as you see the black character, you're like, okay, if he makes it past the first 30 minutes, something's the matter.
He make it past the first 30 minutes, man. He is that dude.
Yeah.
He is actually that dude, man. That's why I was glad when it came out. It made like $100 million, and still counting, you know. And it only cost, I think, what it was like $4 million to make. So they spent $4 million to make it, made $100 million, and all I can say is I like the movie. A lot of people still try to, you know, they're like, it's okay, but. Speaking of movies,
if you have not seen, because I saw it about maybe 2 weeks ago, if you have not seen the movie that they did about Baldwin and what he was doing back in the day called I Am Not Your Negro, you need to see that movie, because Baldwin was not holding back any punches. And, you know, Baldwin, that's back like in the, and they make some comparisons to the days, times, too, but they were like, look, you know, y'all think this is new? The stuff with the brothers and the sisters and the cops and all of this stuff, and Baldwin, actually, one of the scenes, I think Baldwin has a debate with some of these other political types, and he held his own. He's like, nah. He was like, I am not. He called out the banks. He called out everybody. He did not paint a pretty picture of the U.S.
Oh, wow. And I believe that, because you figure in the age of social media, everybody's like, oh, well, this is happening, that's happening. You know, it's not new, though. We have been dealing with the BS forever, ever since they had the slave patrols.
Right.
You know, it's not new. It's just that instead of it taking 6 months for you to finally hear about it, where in some places it's like, oh, you know, like back in the day, somebody get beat up in March, you're not going to find out until December.
Right.
By the time the word spreads, now it spreads in a matter of seconds. Like, boom, here it is. What you going to do about it? Or what are you going to complain about it? You know what I mean? So it's real. It's different. A lot different.
It's totally different. It's a lot different. But you learn a lot about folks when you go see that movie. Like I said, I watched that movie, and then we had a panel discussion afterwards. Not a panel discussion, but like an open discussion. And there was a gentleman there who was a local police officer, and he was basically like trying to make it like, you know, I'm one of those people that's trying to play like I'm not really a set color. I don't have to be that. I don't have to identify with myself. And we're sitting all going like, wait a minute. one of our police officers. You don't want to identify with yourself, or we already got an issue right here.
Yeah, that ain't nothing new. So what are you saying?
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Exactly. What are you saying?
And a lot of people don't want to have them hard conversations, bro. I mean, when you really put somebody in the hot seat, then they say, oh, we all need to get along and we all need to do this. All right, well, you can argue maybe a person should not have run. Okay. But do they deserve a bullet in the back because they decided to run? You know, you all do right. have to put your feet on the ground and go ahead and catch my man or walk him down, but dang, you ain't got to shoot him in the back, man, because now he doesn't get to defend himself. You know what I mean? Like, for what you were going to get him on or what you didn't know you may have gotten him on, you don't know that now because you killed him.
Kill him, and not only that, but, I mean, and even, like, the young ladies, and I think there have been a couple of cases of guys, too, when, you know, you got regular police officers are sitting in school systems and they sit over there body slamming folks. I mean, there's other ways that you can subdue people other than sitting there trying to body slam them. You know, I mean,
my man hit. You talk about what he did. He tackled the young girl. He hit her like Goldberg. Like,
yeah.
I know he got to be at least 250 pounds or better. And that girl probably is about 110 with a cinder block on her back.
Yep.
Snatch her up, man. You know what I mean? Snatch her away from the fight. Dang,
exactly.
You slammed. Now, if they had jumped on him and they were trying to beat him up, all right, I can understand.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing. But, you know, that was not the case. Like, you know, if they jump you, then that whole defense is defense, no matter whether it's you a police officer, whether it's a common citizen or whatever, but you know, it's a fight, and you claim you break it up, but you body slam it. That does not sound like the right tactic to me.
No, it's not the right one at all. And a lot of times, I guess it comes down to increasing the standards, because right now, any young dude, 18 years old with a high school diploma or GED, can actually start a career in law enforcement.
Yeah.
The brain doesn't even develop until it's about 25 years old. So what are you going to do when you walk up on a situation where it's a man and a woman, they maybe, let's say they arguing, they're not even fighting, but a neighbor calls the police before, quote unquote, it gets out of hand. And when you get there, the man is like wilding out, but he's standing still. Are you going to shoot him? You know what I'm saying? He might be standing in the same place, still yelling and fussing, and instead of you trying to use some de-escalation skills, you're just going to shoot him. He was aggressive. Well, he would have come down had you talked to him.
You just don't talk to him.
You could talk anybody down, man. It's possible.
Yeah.
I had 18 years in corrections. You could talk anybody down.
Yeah.
I don't care how pissed off they are. Give them a second. Let them say what they got to say. Don't try to shut it. See, they try to shut people up. And then it goes somewhere else. So it becomes worse than it could have ever been.
Sometimes you just got to walk away. And that's what you – sometimes you just got to walk away.
Yep.
Come back to the situation later, but because he's a message, like sometimes you just got to walk away and come back later. But nah, some folks just want to jump in the middle of the madness. I'm sitting there going like, nah, it's madness. Just walk away. Take a breather.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. Hey, we got somebody calling in. Let me see who done jumped in on the conversation.
Yo,
thanks for calling
it's
the voice
me,
of the
sorry.
People. Who are we speaking with right now?
It's Ty.
Is that Ty?
Oh, D.
Yeah, it's
who
Ty.
Just came in the door? Mark.
I hear there's a Ty at the
house. Hey, guys.
It's Ty. Hi,
Ty.
Ty.
Hi, guys.
We had the search team looking for you, but, you know, you wouldn't answer the phone. We got
sitting
in the house looking for you.
Postcard. I sent out the Coast Guard. I sent out the Navy. I even called my buddy in the Secret Service. We were looking for you.
You could have called my husband. He's in the Army.
No, you know what? You know who we didn't call that would have found you that much faster? Mark, we forgot. We should have called the student loan people. They find anybody. They found me.
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
There's two people we forgot to call. We forgot to call student loans, and we forgot to call that man that everybody's going to be seeing in about 2 weeks if they haven't seen him already. Because, you know, the tax man will find anybody.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. I
remember. Yeah. April 15th, y'all. If you haven't gotten those taxes done, you got a good 18 days before you end up in a place you don't want to be. You know,
yeah.
So.
So,
what's been going on over there?
Oh, man. It's been great.
We're shaking in Hawaii. Are they building a wall in Hawaii yet?
No, no building of any walls, but same old. I mean, weather is great here, and life is good. I cannot complain. I am going to get – I just rejoined MAC Cosmetics, so I'll be back doing makeup again here in Hawaii. So that's pretty cool to keep me active. And screening process was a little different than in Atlanta, but needless to say, they're a little bit more welcoming, I'll just say that. So I feel it's good to be back on a good team. So I have a question, because Dean, it brought up much controversy. I was looking online at this, and it seemed like they even used the campus of Virginia State University to film the film that was on Netflix. I believe it's called like Burning Sands. Did you get to watch that?
It was filmed on our yard. Yes, it was.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. They used Virginia State. And so, you know, I was sitting here one Saturday afternoon watching it with my husband, and my husband is a member of KASI. He happens to be the president of the fraternity here. He shared a little bit with me, maybe a few things that I won't go into detail about, but, you know, of some of his experiences in the past. And then, you know, tell us a little bit about, Dean, if you could, for what you can share, like, about Panhellenic Council. It seemed like back in the 90s, I want to say it's 1990, they banned hazing. Because in the movie, the young man, he dies, you know? And
that
seemed to be a lot of controversy. And I saw a lot of remarks of people saying, well, if I got to go through all that just to be a part of somebody's fraternity or sorority, you can bump that. And then he's, so what do you have to say about this?
Here's the thing.
A member of a fraternity.
I mean, I am.
Oh, and
but
then last
I,
thing, the person was Q. I think the guy is a Q who created this film.
He is.
Go ahead.
What I will say is this, and you know, like, it's something that if asked a direct question, everybody in every organization is going to tell you, my organization is a non-hazing organization, because they do not want to get put in a situation where they're asked questions about something that they may not even have knowledge about. However, there is a culture within the Divine Nine. Like, you know, that's something that has not been addressed, but all you got to do is Google hazing cases, and you're going to find a whole lot of them from a whole lot of different organizations, both black and white. You know, and when we're talking about now, the black Greek letter organizations, because a member of Omega Psi Phi made
the
movie.
Is that the most popular?
You know, and
I don't know.
What do you say?
So is it, okay, so the difference is when there was a time when you actually got to see brothers that were online prior to it being banned, hazing being banned, you know, in the 90s.
Right, 1990 was the last walking lines of any black Greek letter organization.
Right. So prior to that, they say that seemed like it was less. It wasn't as severe as when it went underground. You know what I mean? Because you actually got to see the people that were going to be online, and they went through things. So do you think it changed dramatically after it went underground compared to when it was not?
If you look at it from the outside, just think of this. If you could see them every day, right, no matter what they went through, if somebody looked tore down, that's just public knowledge because they're always in public. And then when you take that away and you say, oh, there's no hazing, that's like telling people there's no eating on a plane or turn your phone on airplane mode.
Right.
Or, you know, somebody is always going to defy what the rule is. You know, no smoking in the bathroom. It's a felony to smoke on a plane in the bathroom, and then dude come out and a cloud of smoke coming behind him, like, oh, I have baby powder or whatever. But at the same time, you have those now. You can't see what's going on. There's nothing to be seen. And the argument is not about Black Greek letter organizations. The argument is about the issue of hazing still taking place in organizations. You know, like.
And does it have to be that severe? That's my question. Like, does it have to go that far? I understand you got to put somebody through a process. You know what I mean? But do you feel sometimes people just take it a little too far?
My personal opinion, any man can take an ass whipping. Any man can take an ass whipping. So that doesn't prove anything. They just proved that they could take a good ass whipping. You know what I mean? It's like, what are you going to do to number one, show yourself brotherly to someone who wants to become a part of your organization, to show them that the brotherhood does mean something, and also the work of the organization. Like, ass whooping ain't a part of the order.
Yeah. Ty and Dean, now, the one thing I would say about hazing, and like I said, I did not pledge a fraternity. And part of the reason I did not pledge a fraternity is because, you're right, hazing was going on even when I was in school, and that was in the 80s. And I remember my roommate was from Yonkers, New York, and anybody that knows about New York knows that Yonkers ain't exactly one of the most pleasantest neighborhoods in the world. It's got a little bit of a rough edge going on. And then his other part of the family was from Jackson, Mississippi. So, you know, he's from the Deep South and Yonkers. So he's already got that tough air about him. And I'm a country boy coming from Warrington, North Carolina at the time. And when homeboy came up there, and we were roommates, and he had been hazed, and they decided to pour hot sauce on a vital part of the male anatomy, I was like, oh, hell no.
That's crazy.
I'm good.
That's crazy.
Because both him and one of my boys, there was alpha, because my roommate was a kappa. Both of them were talking about trying to get me pledged. And as soon as I heard about that, I was like, no, I'm good. but you're also right.
Go ahead, Mark. Go ahead.
Okay. You're also right. It's not just a Black thing, though, because my cousin went to Duke University. He joined the fraternity, was a little bit so insane that they banned them because they were one of them social fraternities that really didn't have a purpose except for maybe getting a little roughed up on each other and getting drunk, which is why they called themselves Mobs. When they called themselves Mobs, bunch of guys. I think it was maybe him and maybe two other brothers were the only brothers in this whole fraternity. But it was right there on campus. They still got some fraternities similar to it at that Duke, because I actually live by Duke now. But they got fraternities similar to that now. But even when he was there in the 80s as well, you know, I went to one of their fraternity parties, and I'm sitting there going like, okay, y'all's whole purpose is to sit there and get pissy drunk and then beat up on each other and talk junk about each other. I'm like, no, I'm good with that one too. Y'all have fun.
Well, big up to
not
the,
worth
it. I don't know, Dean, you being in it, is there a difference from those that go grad to undergrad? Or, like, I've been told that even some men that have pledged even a grad chapter have had a little hazing because then they didn't feel man enough if they didn't go or did get a little haze, even for grad chapter, or the acceptance is a little bit different. What do you have to say about that?
You know what? Hazing is going to be hazing. The only difference between an undergrad and a grad, two things. They got a degree and a graduate chapter, and they're a little older. There are some individuals, whether graduate or undergraduate, that are going to take it to a certain place where it should not go. And that was the point of the whole movie, like, how much is too much? And is it really worth it on both sides? Is it worth beating someone to a point where they're injured or they're hurt? Or is it worth getting your ass whipped just to belong? What kind of brother are you, or what kind of aspiring brother are you? You know what I mean? So that is, I guess the movie was made to spark that conversation. I know I read one interview where they interviewed the director and the writer of the movie, and he was saying he made the movie after Robert Champion got killed, and that wasn't even a fraternity. You know, it was the band organization at FAMU. You know what I mean? So I guess when you see those things, or if you Google hazing cases and you look at all the organizations, it's not limited to one at all, and you see the reasons why someone was hurt or killed. Even at Virginia State, they had a group called Men of Honor, something new because it wasn't there when we were on the yard. But two young men died in the Appomattox River because they had them going down there to go across the Appomattox, and the current swept them up and killed them. You know what I mean? So when you look at situations and things like that, and there are other organizations who also had unfortunate incidents, you know, mine included, nobody's exempt from it, because they have individuals who believe that in order for you to get to where I am, you have to go through this, or you should go through that, or I went through it, so you got to do it too. But I've always asked that question: if you were one of those individuals who have been hazed, why are you paying it forward? You need to pay it back. If it bothers you that much, you need to go to the brother or sister who did that to you, knock on their door, and say, hey, look, we need to have a conversation, because when you did this, ... You know what I mean? Here you are, someone who had nothing to do with it at all, and you're making them go through hell when the hell is actually standing right beside you. What sense does it make? So, you know, while a lot of people are very upset about the making of the movie because they feel like he threw Black Greek letter organizations under the bus, it's a conversation that needs to be had, because we as Black folks are very one of the things we do best is sweep shit under the rug. We will throw something under the rug and try to ignore that it ever existed. No, we're not going to talk about that. No. You know, you have to be discreet and talk about it amongst each other. It shouldn't be a conversation on social media.
I mean, it shouldn't be a conversation in public
or whatever.
I think, you know. I actually applaud the man who did it. I think a lot of it was true to as close to the story as he could describe it for those, for us that are not Greek, for us to on the outside looking in. I think it was a great depiction of what goes on in that world. I mean, Spike Lee, he had a comedic angle when he came out with School Days.
And
School Days, he had the Greeks, and then in Stomp the Yard, you see the brothers go through their little their thing when it came time for step competition, and you know, one guy he's trying to sit down and he couldn't because his behind was sore, you know, and you see the girl giggle. And then there was a scene that kind of disturbed me in this one, was when they were all getting you know, they had a day where they were going through something, and they had one female who seemed to be down for whatever. And she was there to sleep with all the young men that were, you know, that were going over. And she was down with it. Like, she's like, you know, this is my duty. This is what I do. And then I'm looking at myself and like, wow, this female is insane. But there are some women that will take
there
the bragging rights to say.
There
yeah,
are some
like,
women that by the time they hit the yard, between the time they hit the yard as freshmen and their junior year, everybody knows who they are. Everybody.
That's crazy.
Greek, not
it's
Greek.
Crazy.
You don't even have to be Greek. It's like, you know what? She likes to get it in, so now everybody's trying to put that notch on their belt. And then by the time her junior year comes around, she's like, all right, I got to start getting ready to go out here and be professional and work in the world.
In the world.
But
wow.
She's okay. The one that comes back to homecoming married like 10 years later, and everybody looking at the husband like, boy, you must not
but
really
you know,
not know. Like,
feel, you know what? I don't even think you should pass judgment on that person. You know, if they come
no,
back
I'm not saying,
10 years
I'm not
later,
saying pass judgment on her. I'm just saying there are a lot of women who have made that choice. So what he did in the movie is not far from, it's not far-fetched. It has happened. And in the hundreds,
I just didn't like
some
the part with the
black
young
campuses,
man that right?
In
like,
this,
this
country,
is the part I didn't like.
There's at least
I didn't
one
like
every year.
Had, okay, so with that said, it just seems like, where do you find, where are you finding these women? Or are they finding you? Are they hunting you guys down? I mean,
what are you talking about?
Are they
where you find
a,
what women
I
at?
Mean, the ones that are just that silly to be down for whatever, you know? There are, like, who is turning these sisters out like that? Are you that?
Ain't nobody
famous?
Turning them out.
Like,
it was dudes that weren't Greek that was getting it in with them same chicks. So, I mean, they did not discriminate. You did not. It was not limited to, oh, I just want a man that has Greek letters on. It was drug dealers. It was nerds. It was basketball, football players. It was the Greeks. It was the band members. It was dudes off campus.
Yeah.
It was anybody that had a penis. So they did not they didn't discriminate. And, you can't pass judgment, but a lot of people did. So now,
crazy. I mean,
but then it didn't help.
So then you come back
a couple
to
of them,
homecoming.
But you know
what?
Here's where the problem came in. You do what you do. It is what it is, right? But don't change and get an attitude. Now you're going to change and act brand new and get stank with everybody. I mean, everybody been laid with you. Shit. You can't get an attitude with them because you gave up the goods.
Now, I would like to see somebody do the same type of film with and I want to see the female perspective because we always see what goes on with the men. I would love to see what women go through because for some reason, that seems to be so taboo. Nobody really talks about the sororities and what they go through.
You want to know why?
And that's what I was going to ask you, though, Dean, because you made a statement earlier that I was not sure about, because I think you said earlier, and if I misheard you, correct me, but didn't you just say that there are not any lines now, at least for the fraternities? Or something
no,
else?
There are lines.
Okay.
I said the last walking lines, meaning pledging in public, were in 1990.
Okay. They're not public. I understand that. That's what I was getting confused about because I have a cousin that just, second cousin actually, she just plays at UNC in a sorority, and I've seen documentation of the lines and everything because she actually posted some stuff on her YouTube and Facebook, so I knew that there were lines. That
but
were
it's not, so
out
it's
there.
Not public. So it's not public anymore, but they still have lines. It's just not everything is
correct.
Done more so underground. Is that right, Dean?
Yeah, underground in the corner, around the side. You ain't gonna see it.
Right.
See, that's
if
funny,
you're not
a
part
it's
of
like
the,
a secret. It seems like it's
thing,
like a secret society.
But that's the funny thing. You say it's a secret society. You say it's a secret society, but we live in an age of modern media. And by that, I mean you got Twitter, YouTube, you got Instagram and all of that. I just told you that my cousin posted some of what she did on the line. Now, she didn't post everything because some of that is secretive. So she didn't post everything, but I've seen at least part of what they did because she posted that information. And then she's not the only one doing that.
And she didn't get in trouble for that?
Oh, she's going to jail.
That's crazy that she was allowed was posting anything online because they normally don't want them posting anything that they do.
Well, I mean, if they crossing, that's a little different. Everybody probably a little
crossing. Oh, it's
pictures,
the cross.
You know what I mean?
Crossing celebration, right? The crossing celebration, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Everybody go post that because they're like, you know what? We're members of the organization now. Check us out. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's what they do. Yeah, but anything else, somebody's gonna be in some world of hurt, boy.
No, it was a crossing celebration. It was definitely a crossing celebration.
So speaking of other news, has anyone heard the new Rick Ross album? Have you heard it? Any comments about it? I did listen to a few of his tracks. It seems like he infused some jazz in this album. He also goes into dissing Birdman. He really got in on him. Birdman actually clapped back at him. He said he's not into any ho shit, excuse my French, in response to Rick Ross. Any comments or anyone heard any of it?
I mean, I have not heard it, but from what I have heard from Rick Ross, the brother can make some music. So, you know, people want to talk about what his former occupation was and all of that.
Right.
But what you cannot deny is when you hear one of those joints and that thing said Maybach music and then he start getting it in, it's actually on point. So, I mean, I haven't had a chance yet to take a listen to it. Now, as far as Birdman, I don't really, you know, they were hot back in the days, you know what I mean? But once everybody parted ways and went their own, it kind of like took a different turn. And I guess I don't have anything negative to say because I only listen to what I like. You know what I mean? Like,
if the new stuff comes on now. Yeah.
I don't have a comment because I don't listen to it.
Let's get into that. Are we that old, guys? Are we that stuck in our ways when it comes to the new stuff compared to the old stuff? Are you listening to new tracks? Are we that set in our ways? Some of the stuff that I hear nowadays, it just sounds like a bunch of moaning. It's not rapping. They sound like they're singing. You know, like there's a group, what is it, Black Beatles? I've listened to a few of their tracks, you know. I don't know. It's a different sound. Trap music, trance music.
It's just not a different era.
Yeah.
It is a different era.
You know what I mean?
What's that?
I said I come from that boom bap era, like the golden era of hip hop. Where everything sounded different, but it still made you bob your head, nod your head, get your neck braces. There's only a few out there now that's still holding true to that. Those are the ones I listen to. That other stuff, that's for somebody else. It's not for me. You know what I mean? So am I stuck in my ways? I surely am. I'm 11 days older than hip-hop, so yes.
Wow. What do you have to say about that, Mark? Do you listen to any of what goes on today? I mean, you seem
I do actually listen to a lot of what goes on today. So, I mean, like I said, we did that whole Road to the Apollo show, so I got to hear some of the people who were even doing some stuff locally that was mixing in different styles. But what I found is that a lot of, particularly out of the jazz and hip-hop community, a lot of them are blending with each other. So I'm actually enjoying that kind of sound, and actually Ross is part of that. So these folks that are blending that whole hip-hop element and then throwing in the more traditional jazz, because they're actually not even doing necessarily smooth jazz. Sometimes it's smooth jazz, sometimes it's more traditional jazz, and I'm really enjoying that mixture. So I'm checking out a lot of that, and that's even part of what some of these festivals that are popping up around the North Carolina and South Carolina areas and even many areas are even promoting, so definitely liking some of this
big
stuff
up
that
to,
I'm hearing.
Yeah, like big up to VH1. They are playing, it's a series called The Breaks, which I really do like because it's got some pretty interesting actors in it, actresses, and it's dedicating, you know, the storyline is the birthing of hip-hop during the era of the 90s when things were just now breaking in, and R&B, if you guys used to if you recall, at one time it was just strictly R&B. R&B dominated
The late
80s. Scene. Yeah, dominated the scene. And it was, radio stations were like, we do not play that rap stuff. No rap. If you heard rap, it was like a specialty show, maybe a mixtape, you know, or you got them on mixtapes. And that used to be the thing. If you recall, you had your DJ Kid Capri, DJ Ron G, Chuck Chill Out, you know, even like Brucey B. If you had a mixtape out and your stuff was on a mixtape, that's when you were considered like the ish. Now you can just like download your music on, you know, SoundCloud, iTunes, or whatever. So it's refreshing to see shows like that because it's a reminder to the youth now that music back then, it took a little bit more effort to be heard and to be recognized.
Yeah, but some of that's even coming back because, like, I missed it, unfortunately, but some friends of mine went to go see it. They did a whole breakdancing competition over there in a place near the old ballpark here in Durham. And that's, what I understand, that thing was packed. And these were, like, kids that were between, there's a group called Raleigh Rockers, and there were some other people that were just actually doing it for the first time. They were getting out there breakdancing and doing the whole spins and everything like they used to do back in the 80s and the, yeah, the 80s and the 90s. And
in the 80s,
and,
yeah. I mean, good. I mean, that's cool to keep it going. At one time, they were street gangs, you know, big up to Afrika Bambaataa, Zulu Nation, and there were other street gangs that used to be recognized, breakdancing, clock blocking, you know, DJs putting their stuff out on schoolyards and bringing the music out there. That's how it used to be heard. The first ever hip-hop party was held, was it Cedric Avenue, Cool Herc, in an apartment. And he wrote the invitation on an index card. And that was the birthing of the first
party. Shout out to Clive Campbell, better known as Cool DJ Herc, and his sister Cindy, because they had that 25-cent party at 1520 Sedgwick Avenue to buy school clothes.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, like, if it had not, you know, first was the soundboard parties before that. And it just evolved. It brothers started, you know, singing over the tracks or whatnot. And then one night, Kool Moe Dee brought on a battle rap when he took out Busy B. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, and then it grew from there. And then you had MCs getting those record contracts and being able to articulate what they wanted, how they wanted. And everybody did it a different way, but it was just on it like that. You stood in line at the record store for as soon as the door opened to get that new whatever. You know what I mean?
Right.
It was nothing like standing in that line waiting. This generation will never know what that is because they could just Google it, go on iTunes, download it, boom, you listen to
it. Yeah.
Now.
Exactly. Like, so I was saying that to myself, like, look at this. I went on Apple and I just downloaded the new Trey Song album. So does that affect their record sales? Because now we don't got to go into an album, a record shop. I can just go to Apple on my phone and boom, I can download the album. Am I paying for that service? I didn't pay. I just clicked the button and downloaded the album.
You paying for it? You still buying it. You just buying it faster, that's all. You know.
But I didn't spend any money, or is it a service that I'm paying for on my phone?
Oh, Lord, you just cheated my hometown family. You just
just
I'm just saying,
bootleg
you go
this
to,
album, huh? That's what you're saying?
No,
you go
to Apple. So you have Apple, you know, on your iPhone. You have, you know, Apple the Music, and then you go to artists and you look them up and you just like click it and download the album.
In
and
fact,
that is part of what the whole discussion is with the music industry and people like Pandora and Apple and iTunes and Reverb Nation and all of these kind of services is the fact that in reality, you have cheated the artist. So they're now trying to work out deals and figuring out ways that the artist can also get their percentage of the money that is being made off of that, because in a way they are not making any profit because you just got it for free.
Yeah, remember LimeWire was hemming people up. Like, they were downloading stuff off of LimeWire. The federal government was sending letters to people's houses.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
So, you know.
So,
man,
do you think that the artist or management is making deals with Apple, you know, for...
Oh, yeah, that's not so much...
They have
case,
to, right? They have to.
Yeah,
there's like whole discussions going on between like the music industry and the tech industry as to how to make this thing equitable to all sides. I mean, that's been going on now at least for the last probably 5 or 6 years, and they're still trying to find that middle ground.
So, question to both of you guys, and I want both of you guys' opinion because we've got about 8 minutes left. But I was watching a few segments, like on The Breakfast Club. Wendy Williams had a few things to say about it and a few others. Snoop Dogg came out with a video, and in the video, he had Trump, a person dressed up in clown face as Trump, and then he had a gun pointed to him and shot the gun, and it said bang. Did you guys get to see that video or any comments about that? Did he have creative freedom to...
No.
I'm
going to say no. Unfortunately, the last 8 years when President Barack Obama was in office, they relaxed the rules on this. But anytime you make a threat towards a president, it is considered treason. I don't care how creative you make it. I love Snoop. But, dog, you about to have the feds tracking you for the next year, 2, 3, 4 years.
So you think he made himself a target by doing that?
Yes.
Wow.
Everybody can talk about him. We call him the tangerine tyrant, idiot, or whatever we want. That is our freedom of speech. But when it becomes to a point where it's something that is threatening, even if it was done in a... for some joking manner, that's something that's not to be taken lightly, because the one time you said, oh, you know what, that's stupid, he's being creative, then somebody else goes out and does this man some harm and say, you know what, I saw that Snoop video, so I wanted to do it for real. What are you going to do?
Right. Yeah. Because
I mean, you already had a case
mentioned...
like that. Because you already had
Because
the person went and shot into a mosque because of some crazy stuff that was said about the possibility that there might have been something going on in that store.
Right.
Because, I mean, pretty much it's, can you imagine what the outcry would be if Snoop Dogg's failing career and all had aimed to fire the gun at President Obama? Jail time, Trump retweeted. But he doesn't have a failing career. I think now his career will be followed a little bit more closely, even Bow Wow making the silly remark in regards to his wife. Like, I think that's just going a little bit overboard. Because I know the outcry comes from the huge dislike of our new president. He's not the most popular president thus far.
Yeah, I don't like him either, but I ain't trying to get the feds to track me every time I breathe or open my mouth. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You got to play the game smart.
Right.
Yeah, that's
you can make comments, you can make observations about him. I mean, I like what the whole theater group did when they were having the play about the whole political people. I am Hamilton. I like the way they handled it and everything. So Hamilton handled their dislike of Trump in a very effective way without necessarily making it about a threat. And the same with SNL.
Right.
Yeah, you got to be careful. You got to play the game.
Yeah, you do have to. So, in closing, because we have about 4 minutes left, guys, I'm keeping track of the time so we don't get closed off. Congratulations to you, Dean, on your graduation. You and your wife.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you.
Wow. Congratulations. How does that feel with all the accomplishments right now?
I mean, it's all right. We're trying to figure out what to do next. You know what I mean?
open up your own center. Counseling. That would be very cool. But big up to that. Furthering your education is very key, very vital. So we had to congratulate you. I saw all of the positive tweets, positive remarks and comments on Facebook. So cool for that. Anything going on in you guys' neck of the woods, Mark or Dean? Anything up and coming that you guys want to address?
Well, you know, April is going to be a very busy month here in the Ball City area because April is the month that we got everything going on. April and May, we got everything going on from Full Frame, the film festival that will be coming up very shortly. Art of Cool is around the corner with Brother George Clinton and Common about to be in town for that.
Oh, wow.
And then also Boog Festival, but I believe George Clinton, Rakim, and Common will all be here for Art of Cool, and that's at the end of April. So that's at the end of April that will be taking place. Full Frame is actually in the early part of April, and of course, that's like the Sundance. It's the documentary version of Sundance, so we're definitely looking forward to that. And actually, I may be, because I'm helping a friend of mine, a young lady friend and everything, do some of business that you're into, so I may be learning more about Mary Kate, and I actually want to know because that's her whole field of what she's all about, so I promised her that I would at least give her a hand using my networking skills, so I may be learning about that field of yours.
Nice.
Is Women Empowerment going on in Raleigh? Is that coming up, Mark?
It is coming up. It has not gotten here yet. Actually, they just did an audition. Actually, believe it or not, one of your relatives, Miss Bryson, her daughter is going to be running the fashion show for Women's Empowerment. I think they divided some of the aspects, but the actual running of the models, Katina, I believe it is, will be running that with her fashion group. So they actually had auditions at Hayti last Wednesday. We just went through and I saw some of the models that were there, so they are definitely looking forward to that. So, yeah, that's coming up in about another week or two, and they will be handling the fashion part of that.
Yeah, I'm looking that up. It looks like April 22nd, to be exact. And you guys have got Taraji P. Henson. That's pretty cool. Taraji P. Henson, Hezekiah Walker, CeCe Winans will be a part of. And Taraji P. Henson happens to be the keynote speaker this year. That's pretty cool. Katina Bryson, she and her sisters have come together and they have created Azani Couture, which is first it started out as an online boutique and now they actually have a storefront in Durham off of, I think that's Chapel Hill Boulevard.
I believe that's right.
Mayflower, I think, is the restaurant. It's somewhere over there near there. But they have a boutique and they seem to be doing very well. So that's great to hear that they're going to be a part of Women Empowerment. I have had a chance to participate in Women Empowerment, and it's a great get-together of, you know, you have your hip-hop, R&B, and gospel, and they put together a really nice headline of individuals, of creative artists, to be a part of the show. And it happens once a year over there in the Bull City. Well, in Raleigh, actually.
In Raleigh.
In Raleigh. So that's going to be pretty cool. And it's to uplift and empower women. And it's great for the family, too. So you should definitely check that out.
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds pretty cool. It was good to get back with you guys. Definitely did miss you. And Dean, aren't you doing another show? Do you do a different talk show? Is it with your frat brother?
Yeah, my my line brother actually has a show called Let's Talk About It. It's on BKS1 Radio, WBKS1.com, every other Thursday. So the next show is like the
7th of April. I'm a guest host, so I'm not there every week.
Okay, cool. Okay. Well, let's finish this up with final thoughts. And I will go first, and then I'll let the guys go after. So final thought, it's always good to come together and address issues that are going on in the world. I think that right now, at this very point in our life, respect for self is definitely necessary. And do your research for yourself. Representations for people's organizations or groups are definitely something that we should respect. And I want to congratulate the gentleman that came out with the show, Burning Sands, because I think, like Dean had mentioned, these are things that people don't want to talk about, but the fact that he even just raised the topic for discussion was necessary. Because some people have a biased opinion about that life. And if you haven't experienced it for yourself, then maybe you should enlist and try it out for yourself before you judge others. Because it took a lot of guts for individuals of that status to cross those burning sands. This is Ty Jones. I want to thank the brothers of the Voice of the People for joining me today. And I'll turn it over to them.
As Ty said, definitely enjoyed being here once again. Looking forward to making this a more regular thing once again now that we're back in the house and ready to bring in our guests. And I've already got some in mind. I know Ty does as well. So we're looking forward to bringing you all kinds of interesting discussions and conversations. And at the same time, one of the things that is very important in terms of a final thought is that we always must understand and have an understanding of our history. And so with that, I'll be saying that I was glad to see the James Baldwin movie, I'm Not Your Negro, explain some of the things that are going on within history from the perspective of James Baldwin, and also seeing at least a little bit of the clips that I'm looking forward to seeing the movie Hidden Figures, which explores a little bit of the unknown role of African-American women in the whole astronaut race and in the race of space exploration. Story that has not been told that often, but is now out there, and is a story that needs to be told. And I know there are many other stories like that that need to be told. So hopefully our writers and community of artistic expression are out there finding new avenues and new ways of telling these stories, because we have so many unwritten and untold stories that need to be told.
What's up? Dean, you want to take us out?
Dean's still there, or did Dean disappear on me?
I don't know. I see his phone still there, so I'm not quite sure. But we'll just take it out from here. Mark, we same time, same place next week, or we are good for next week?
We are good for next week. We'll have an episode up and running. I'm already talking to a couple of guests. We might do another open session, but if I don't have a guest lined up, either way, we will be back here again next week. I'm ready to do it on a weekly basis.
Okay, that's what's up. So we will catch each other next week, same time. Oh, Dean, are you there?
Yeah, you know what? That's what happens when you get kicked back out the house. Hey, look, y'all got it, but I think y'all already said it. Next week, same time, 7 o'clock, blogtalkradio.com/Ty Jones The Voice, or call in and join the conversation, 646-668-8393. With that being said, Ty Jones, the host, Mark Lee, co-host. I'm Dean Geronimo. We out. We see you next week.
Peace.